So the last thing I want to do here is to note that our Gemara presents it as a given that Machlef Par B'Chamor is Yachloku, but Tosfot notes that there's really a Machlokes in Bava Metzia about the exact parameters of when you say Yachloku and when you don't. And this is the last Tosfos on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. So Tosfos there says, "Ein lo chiach mikan de halacha kesumchus mi de parach minei de ad kan lo pligi alehotam ba shoel ela mishum de azlinan batar chazaka de mamona umak minan bechezkat marakama halavachi modu de yachloku." So he says, well, you have to look at the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Kof. And the Gemara there records the machlokas between Sumchos and the Chachamim, which goes as follows, right? So on the Mishnah that discusses our case of a machle para b'chamor, of the trading, the barter of the animals, and the or of the shifcha. So the Gemara says, amay yachloku. Why is it that the Gemara says you divide? V'lech zeh b'reshut d'man kaima. Why don't you just see where the animal is? Vileheve ida hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. And then, whoever is trying to extract the child, the baby animal, they are the motzi, right? They're the one who's trying to extract, and therefore the burden of proof is on them. So if Yaakov traded with Ezra, and when the baby is born, the baby is still in Ezra's possession. So the Gemara says, why don't you leave it there? Because not why would you divide? Amotzi mechavero alav haraya. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Shmuel be'omedet be'agam. The Gemara says, you're right. You would say that amotzi mechavero alav haraya, but that's only if it's in Ezra's property. But let's say that at the moment when Yaakov pulls the animal, the other animal, is not in Ezra's property, but is in a neutral space, in a swamp. So then, since there is no chazaka, because it's not in anybody's property, it's in a neutral space, that's why the Mishnah says, Yachlok Shivchanami, and the case of the maidservant as well, Dikaima Besimta, V'nukma achezket demarakama ve'levi ida chamotzi mechaver olav araya. So the Gemara says, why still? In the end of the day, it's true that Yaakov and Ezra are trading. But in the end of the day, the cow was originally, I don't remember who the cow was, let's say Yaakov, right? The cow, or Ezra's, I think it was. So at least the animal, the baby animal, should stay in its original place in the end of the day where its mother originally owned. It's true that you agree that a sale happened, but why don't you leave the baby animal where it was meant to be, where it originally was, rather. So the Gemara says, Amani sum chazid, amar mumar abmutal besafek cholkin below shvua. So the Gemara says, that's sumchus. The Chachamim indeed would hold that the animal, the baby animal, stays with the original owner of the cow in a case of safek, meaning you don't just divide it, you leave it. So it seems like there's actually a machloket about how you deal with this case. Do you imagine that the best way of dealing with it is divide it? Or do you say, look, in the end of the day, whoever controls it, he has de facto ownership, for whatever reason you think Hamotzi Mechaver of Araya is true, either because, maybe we'll get into this later in the year, maybe we'll see, either because you think Hamotzi Mechaver of Araya is a proof that whoever holds on to it, it's his, or it's not a proof, it's just status quo, or maybe, as we talked about, Muchzakot, right, similar to the way we've talked about with Chazaka. So the Gemara says, so Tosfot says, so the fact that our Gemara takes it as a given that the right way of solving the problem of the trade is Yachloku, doesn't that prove that we paskin like Sumchos against the Chachamim? Because the Chachamim would say that the animal stays with the original owner. So Tosfot says no. Da'ad kan lo pligia lehotam behashoel el mishum dozlin and butter chazaka dimamona mukminim becheskat marakama. There is a chazaka, and that's why you leave it by the original owner. Halav achimodu diachloku. But in a case when you could not establish a chazaka, the implication is that everyone would agree that the proper solution is to divide. Later on in the Masechta, when someone says, give part of my property to him, and the Gemara says, that's, quote, the position of Sumchos, who perish, a contrast to time of Mishum, the Chelek, Misapkole, Ieve, Mashu, Opalga, Umamoramuto, Besavek, Cholkin, and there, the fact that you divide, it sounds like we paskin like sumchos. Imkein mashma da lo chok es sumchos v'yesh lidchok. You could reject that and say, detayim ala mishum sveika, that's not a doubt, ki deber ish hakontras, ela mishum dechelek avi raviya. Rather, that's the portion is in fact a quarter. V'nir de'ein ala chok es sumchos. And he says, Alocha is not like Sumchos. Afa gav de kama mekomot sazam lantana kavase. Even though in many places the Mishnah does imply that you divide, which is the position of Sumchos. Da sover Shmuel kirabonon. But Shmuel holds that amotzi mechavero olav haraya. Kdamrin and Bresh apara. Amar Shmuel zudere Sumchos. Aba chachamim omrim ze klal gadol badin. Shmuel says Sumchos holds divide, but the Chachamim hold Klal Gadol Badin Hamotzei Mechaver Olav Haraya. The great halacha and monetary law is the burden of proof is the one who wants to extract. Mashma Zu Velo Svirale. Ava Gav the Muchok Perik Beit Gordi Ika Zu Vesvirale. Miusasam Stam Zu Lo Svirale. Votegarin Hatam Inami Ze Klal Gadol Badin. Vachin Vashoel. Skip down a little here. Right, and then he brings another case where Sumchos and Chachamim argue, which is if you're not sure whether people paid the rent, because you don't know whether you pay in the beginning of the month or the end of the month. Okay, so what does Tosfot highlight? Tosfot highlights that even though our Gemara takes it as a given that the proper solution for the Machlek Parah B'Chamor is Yachloku, and therefore wants to figure out why that would be distinct from Zeomer Shavotai to Zeomer Shavotai, that's not obvious, because there is this meta-machlokes between, right, this general machlokes between the Chachamim and Sumchos, where Sumchos thinks the right way to do it is to divide. But the Chachamim argue and say that you leave it by the original owner. So how do we understand that machlokes? So here, right, again, it's an interesting case. Because here's the problem. When Yaakov and Ezra trade the animal, on the one hand, you might say, Amotzi mechaver olav haraya, because Yaakov is trying to extract the baby cow from Ezra. But on the other hand, you might say that since we all agree that the situation isn't what it was before, because a transaction happened, which has legal consequence, therefore that broke the presumption that Ezra should own the object. It may come down to a machloket of what Hamotzi Mechaver of Olaraya really means. If you think that Hamotzi Mechaver of Haraya is a proof, right, it's without other evidence, so we take the fact that you control something as evidence that it's yours, and therefore anyone who wants to extract it from you has to prove it. So you might say, that doesn't work in our case. Because since Yaakov and Ezra both acknowledge that a transaction happened that potentially would change the legal status here, so then maybe the fact that Ezra happens to be holding on to the animal is not a proof that it's his, because we acknowledge that the legal status changed. But if you think that Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya means that the court system always errs towards the status quo between Tishe Val Tase, or you say that Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya is not a proof, but it's when someone holds something that gives him power over it, and you have to extract it, in order to extract it, you need the burden of proof is on you, So then you might say, even though it's true that Yaakov and Ezra both acknowledge that the situation has changed because they've involved in a transaction, the very fact that Ezra is currently holding on to the baby animal means that Yaakov is the one who's trying to extract. And the control that Ezra currently has itself is a force that has to be overcome. So that may be how we have to understand the machlokes, chachamim, and sumchus. Now, I will note that for the chachamim, it's obvious that this case is not identical to Zeomer Shavotai, because in general, karka is different, as we've talked about, right? The fact that this land is sitting without anyone on it means that it really is, right, a tabula rasa. It's a blank slate that you have to figure out what to do with. That's not true of the animal case, right? And therefore, it could be that the reason the Gemara invokes sumchus is not necessarily because we paskin like sumchus, but because only sumchus, who believes that despite the fact that Ezra is holding on to the animal, since you're involved in a transaction that would change the paradigm, you have to treat it as a suffix, only he can compare the case of Zeomer Shavotai, to the case of trading the animal. But according to the Chachamim, that when it comes to metaltlin, that when it comes to movable objects, whoever happens to be holding it is the presumed owner. So then, it could be that according to him, it's not parallel to Zeomer Shavotai. And therefore, in the end of the day, it's only the Chachamim, only Sumchus, where the cases are parallel. That doesn't mean Paskin like Sumchus. It just means that for the comparison, he's the only one who thinks that they are similar models. Okay, so let's review what we've seen. Try to bring things together and push this maybe a little bit farther. So I give you one suggestion, the machlokes sumchos and the chachamim. There could be others. So I said that maybe the question is how you understand amotzi mechavero lavaraya, right? If you think it's about proof, then once Ezra and Yaakov acknowledge that they've been in the middle of a transaction that would change the paradigm, so then the proof falls away, and therefore you don't treat it as amotzi mechavero. And maybe the chachamim think, no, that the very fact that you control the object is ownership. There are other possibilities. It could be that they're not arguing about that, but they're arguing, as we've talked about many times throughout this sugya, what is the preferred solution in amotzi mechaver in mamon amutal besafik. And as we've seen, there is a logic to saying that yachloku is our preferred solution, right? As we've talked about, yachloku is the solution that most facilitates peace, even though, admittedly, it doesn't necessarily facilitate truth and justice. So it could be that the machlokes is whether we're willing to actively facilitate peace, knowing that it might not be true. Sumchus might say, look, I'm willing to say yachloku because I think peace is the uber value. And therefore, barring a case where you have absolute proof that it belongs to one person over the other, so we divide and we do the most peaceful solution. On the other hand, the chachamim might say, look, yachloku is very nice, peace is very nice, but when you know it's not true, so then you have to rely on other ones in favor of more truthful potential solutions rather than and merely peaceful ones, right? So it could be that they're not just arguing about how much proof does Ezra have for the object, they're arguing about what the best solution is in general. Yes, Ezra?
Is there a specific point in time in which it, like, counts as the baby being born? Or if, like, could you say that it's possible that at the point of the transaction, like, was in the middle of the birth, and therefore you could say yachloku?
Unlikely. The moment seems to be when the head comes out, right? Like, that's in the, in for so, you know, you see that, for example, in the case of abortion, right? Where the Gemara says that until the head comes out, so you can abort the baby to save the mother's life. But once the head comes out, the baby is considered alive, and therefore they're killing each other, and you can't, right, you can't weigh in. You can't actively kill the child to save the mother because they're killing each other. Right, so that does seem to be the moment. Right, so the second possibility that Rav Lachman suggests is what I had said, right, is that the Machlokes Chachamim and Sumchus is whether the Chezket Marakama, the presumed ownership of Ezra as the original owner, means anything when you know that the situation has changed. The Chachamim might say, look, it does. Even though you know the situation's changed, we always give precedence to whoever happens to be holding the object, who was the original owner. And Sumchus will say, no, that's only when you don't think that the situation, when you don't know that something has changed the situation. Once you know there's been a legal change, the fact that Ezra used to own it doesn't make any difference, and that's why you have to go to Yachloku. Now, the other point, though, is what exactly does Sumchus mean? So as we just saw in the Gemara and Bava Metzia, the Gemara distinguishes between cases where the animal is in Ezra's house, or the animal is in a neutral space. So Tosfot there, and this is number 9, writes that Nira L'Rabbeinu Shmuel, he quotes the Rashbam, Midloka Amar Elohomani Sumchuti Mashma Dlohadr Bemimad Ukma Bomedet Beagam Velo Iri Sumchuz El Bishain Mukhzak Loze Velo Laze Avohecha de Mukhzak Modes Sumchuz Al Idach Laviraya. Tosfot understands the Sugya slightly differently. Tosfot Bava Metzia says, you misunderstand. Everybody agrees that if the animal is in Ezra's house, that it stays with Ezra. Everyone agrees, Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya, everyone agrees with the power of Cheskas Morakama, that the original owner has de facto ownership. The Machlokes isn't there, the Machlokes is in the neutral space. That when there is no Cheskat Morakama, because they're in a neutral space, the Chachamim say that even though the animal isn't in Ezra's property, since it originally was Ezra's, even that, knowing that it was originally Ezra's, that's enough to give Ezra the upper hand and make Yaakov prove that it's his to take it away at all. But Sumchus would agree that if it's in Ezra's house, it stays with Ezra. The only question is in the neutral space. In the neutral space, Sumchus says, the fact that it once belonged to Ezra is irrelevant, because now we know the legal situation has changed. But if it's actually in Ezra's house, everyone will agree it stays by Ezra. And what you see in Tosfot, quoting Rashbam, is the following. That there's two ways of looking at this Cheskas Marakama. One is simply a historical claim that whoever used to own it, so until I can prove that it's no longer his, it stays by him. That seems to be the way the Chachamim say it, and therefore, even if it's in a neutral space, it stays by Ezra. Sumchus says, no. It's not about who used to own it. It's about control. So if Ezra used to own it and it's in Ezra's house, so then I'll leave it to him. But if it's in a neutral space, then Ezra no longer has control. Memelo, we're going to divide it. However, there are other Shito that say that it's not true. Tosfot quotes other positions who's against the Rashbam, who say that Sumchus would say even when it's at Ezra's house, you would divide it. If that's how you understand it, so then probably what you would say is the Machlokes really is how much do you like the solution of Yachloku. That Sumchus is so convinced that the best thing to do is to facilitate peace, that even when Ezra actually has control, he's willing to extract it half from Ezra to facilitate a peaceful resolution. As opposed to the Chachamim would say, no, maybe that's only in a neutral, we can never do that. Alternatively, you could say, as we've said several times, that the question is how much power you give to Mukhzakut, that the Chachamim hold that simply holding onto an object gives you full power, and that's why if Yaakov wants to take it from Ezra, he needs to prove that it's his. And Sumchus holds that no, control doesn't matter if you know that the legal situation doesn't necessarily allow for control to prove anything. Right? Control itself doesn't help. It has to be control with a legal story that gives it proof. And in a case when you've been involved in a transaction, so then that already weakens the presumed control that Ezra has over the object. A Reb Lichtenstein points out that a parallel case that might prove this is that the Gemara in Bava Metzia Tzadi Zion, as Tosus presents it, says that even Sumchus would only say that you divide it if Yaakov and Ezra both have equal certitude that their claim is right. But if one of you is Bari and one is Shema, one of you is sure about what happened, the other one is unsure, then maybe even Sumchus would agree that you don't divide. If that's the case, you see that it's not just that that Sumchus cares about peace and therefore always goes for Yachloku. Rather, he's trying to weigh proofs. And if someone is sure and someone is unsure, so then he will also not simply divide because there's a proof present that he's going to take into account. Okay, let's try to summarize what we've seen because we've done this now for 6 or 7 days. So, we started off by saying that there are three principles that drive Mamon HaMutal B'Safek. One is Emet, or Mishpat, is pure justice. The second is... Hi, Ezra. I'm giving shir. You want to sit with me? Yeah. Not you, Ezra. My Ezra.
For a second.
I closed the door so you wouldn't come in. Do you want to be here? Yeah. Yeah, okay. The second value is peace. The third is chayim. It's simply that life has to go on. And as we noted, Yachloku at first glance seems to prefer peace, but not always truth. Kol Dolim Gvar, fight it out, might go in the direction of make a decision. But it's not peaceful, and maybe not truthful. But we'll see that in a second. Shuda didaini depends on the machlokas. Hamotzi mechaveir olav araya cases, right? So that seems to be based on a certain level of proof. Munach hachiyav aliyahu seems to be an aversion to pursuing falsehood, even if it means that life can't continue, but maybe it's only temporary. And then we analyze each one in turn. So, called, you want to sit in the chair? Okay. So we said, called Alan Gvar. At first glance, it sounds like a recusal because Bezdin is simply doesn't want to be involved in paskening against the truth. However, the Rush disagreed with that, and the Rush said no. Called Alan Gvar is a psak based on truth because we assume that whoever is telling the truth is going to fight harder for it. Based on that, as we saw in Rav Elchanan, we had a machloket that he said a derivative of that would be, do you view Kol Dolim Gvar as a permanent recusal, and therefore you can keep fighting back and forth, the Rashbam, or the Rush? No, it's a psak that is reached indirectly. Shuda Didaini, we saw three positions. Rashi says, try to figure out the truth. Clearly they think that when you have minimal evidence, you should use it to do your best to figure out truth. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Shuda Didaini is a case where you have no evidence. You can choose whatever you want. They seem to be preferring, they view it not as an expression of truth, but as an expression of the need to simply move on with life. The Karban Eida is the extreme of that, who said that you can actually take a bribe, but maybe if you wanted, like Ezra suggested, you could create a hybrid position where saying no, that whoever bribes more, they're probably telling the truth. Okay, Yachloku, we said again, at first glance, is about peace rather than truth. But that may not be the case, because as we saw in Tosfot and Bava Metzia, he's only willing to accept Yachloku in a case where it's theoretically possible that both people actually own it. Munach HaTshiyavo Eliyahu is, as we've seen, seems to be simply, at first glance, just Beis Din being opposed to being engaged in falsehood, and therefore they're willing to recuse themselves. However, as we saw, there may be a truth element to it as well, as Rami noted, and this is Tosfot in Gittin, who says, no, part of the reason that we confiscate it is to motivate the person lying to tell the truth. So therefore, it may be a temporary recusal, which is trying to motivate people to tell the truth. Then, we had asked, okay, our sugya says that by Zeh Omer Shavotai, Zeh Omer Shavotai, you say, yeah, Kol Dolim Gvar. Tosfot had said, well, why don't we say, like Shnayim Ochsim Betalit, Yachloku? Right? Why don't we bring up Shnayim Ochsim Betalit, Yachloku? And we saw, one second, two answers in Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam, which had said that when you are muchzak, when you're holding it, so then we don't go for the solution of kol dolim gvar. We suggest that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the reason is because you can't recuse yourself when the parties have standing and have control. You need to respect the facts on the ground, and therefore, if they're holding on to it, yachloku. But in the case of the two fields, since they're not holding on to it, so then you can recuse yourself. That was the position of Rabbeinu Tam. The Riva had said, no, it depends on whether you think there's a liar, or definitely a liar. In the case of Zeh Omer Shavotai, there's definitely a liar. And therefore, we need to recuse ourselves so we don't facilitate an untruth. But since you could formulate a way in which the two people holding onto the towels really both own it, so then if we're not going to necessarily facilitate an untruth, so then we prefer the peaceful solution of Yachloku. Then we moved on, and the Gemara said, how is this like Shnei Shtaro? So again, according to Tosfot, the Shnei Shtaro case is only if you hold Eidah Mesira Karti. Because in Eidah Mesira Karti, there's an actual epistemic suffix. And therefore, the cases are parallel. And then you have a machloket, yachloku, or shudda d'daini. Or really shudda d'daini. Because that's according to Eidah Mesira. The Rashbam was mechadesh that no, even though we're talking about a case in which it's not yachloku based on a suffik, it's yachloku based on a vadai, meaning because you hold Eide Chasima Karte, it actually belongs equally, right? Yaakov gave the gift simultaneously to Rami and Ezra. He's actually, as we saw, and this was quite a chiddush, he was willing to conflate cases of a suffik yachloku with a vadai yachloku, right? A yachloku which is based on a doubt, or yachloku where the halacha actually tells you yachloku. We saw that that was quite problematic, which is why Tosfot in that sense is much better. But that was the havamina, that you should compare them. The reason, the end of the Gemara says you don't compare them, and in the case of the Shnei Shtar, you go with Shudda D'daini. And in the case of the fields, you don't, is Ika or Leka Lameka Malada Milta. So what does that mean? So if you remember, so we saw that, right, the Rashbam had said, look, we will recuse ourselves in a case where the truth is going to come out because we don't want to be party to untruth. But if the truth is never going to come out by definition, so then we're allowed to divide or do shudda d'daini. Because he thinks that it's an intrinsic suffix. The Yad Ramah, on the other hand, said no. It's not about intrinsic. It's simply a statistics thing. It's about, is it worth forcing Beis Din to deal with the case if you're going to have to revisit it in 6 months? Because according to him, it's an epistemic suffix. And he's saying, look, in an epistemic suffix where you're sure, sorry, where it's unlikely that new evidence will surface, then you have to make a decision. But in a case where evidence is where evidence is unlikely to surface, so then you have to make a decision. But if evidence is likely to surface, so then we don't want to make Beis Din do it twice. That's how the Yad Ramah understood it. You're waving? Thank you, Ezra. Then the Gemara had said, what about the Machlif Barba Chamor, where we say Yachloku? So as we just talked about now, that might only work according to Sumchus, because Sumchus holds that it's a case of division, as opposed to the Chachamim, who say, no, we grant rights to the original owner, and therefore the cases aren't parallel. That's the point that Tosvot notes. And the Gemara answers, the difference is Drara de Mamona. Now, what's Drara de Mamona? So, Rami, following the Adramah, had said, Vada Yerika Ramai. If there's definitely a liar, so then we're never going to facilitate Yachloku, because you're facilitating a half-untruth. But, in a case where there isn't definitely a liar, so then we can encourage, then we can do Yachloku. And since in the case of the trading of the animals, you're not lying, Yaakov and Ezra just don't know what the truth is, so therefore we're allowed to get involved and divide it. That was the Yad Ramah. The Rashbam, on the other hand, had said, no, the difference is whether you have a hold in it. If you previously had a hold in it, so then we have to respect that hold, and we can't just recuse ourselves and then let you fight it out. And therefore, Drar Damamona means since in this case both Yaakov and Ezra actually have claims to these animals, so we have to respect those claims and actually make a decision. You can only recuse yourself in the case of the field where they don't have a claim. And that was Drara de Mamona. Now, what we just saw today in Chachamim versus Sumchos is that it's very unclear what the Chachamim and Sumchos are really arguing about. Are they arguing about only in a case when it's in an agam, in a neutral space, and then the Sumchos just loves the idea of dividing it, and the Chachamim say, no, even there we respect the original ownership? Or does Sumchos, is he so convinced that we go for peace, that even if it's in Ezra's house, we'll actually remove it from him in order to facilitate a peaceful solution? Is it about how do you view Hamotzi Mechavar Lovaraya? Does that only work when there isn't a legal change that has changed the presumed ownership? Or is it, no, the very fact that Ezra holds onto it gives him control, and that's why it stays by him? Or maybe even Sumchos will agree that if it's in Ezra's house, that it stays with him, because even Sumchos agrees that when he has actual control, that it stays by him. The only case in a neutral space where he prefers Yachloku. Okay. And as we've seen throughout, right, in each case, what there seems to be is this balance of the three factors that we've seen. There are different ways of weighing them, obviously. And in each case, we've seen that the machlokes might be whether we value truth or peace more, truth or the avoidance of necessary untruth. Or in each case, it could be a machloket about how much proof is actually present in the situation. There are obviously many other things that we could see in this sugya, but I think we have we've seen. Yeah, I think we've seen enough in the sugya to get a basic picture of this sugya. Now, obviously, as I've mentioned, right, the sugya appears many, many places in Shas, and a full understanding would entail going through those thoroughly, but hopefully in this week and a day or two that we did it, you at least got the basic principles that motivate it. So you have a sort of an opening into the sugya. Between me not feeling well and me seeing that you guys, you know, Zoom doesn't really lend itself to paying attention, I'll call this a summary, call it for the day. We'll do a light sugya on Sunday. Monday morning is